Talking to you.
This is me talking into the mic.
Show me you talking again.
This is me talking again.
Okay, this is me talking. Okay, this is me talking. Okay, that's better. Gotta learn how to use a microphone. I'll learn one of these days.
One of these days you'll learn?
Yeah. So now, you know, we were talking about those boys
earlier. Yeah.
Those rowdy boys.
Rowdy kids.
Right?
Woo.
So what I was going to say is, the mom looks, I see familiar patterns in the mom in that situation. So when my dad and my stepmom were still married.
Yeah.
They had my brother, my two brothers, Darius and Derek.
Yes.
Right. So they were, my dad was very weird about what my stepmom could and couldn't do to discipline the boys.
What kind of things couldn't she do?
I mean, like, I guess she couldn't yell. I mean,
she wasn't allowed to yell?
Like, she wasn't allowed. Like, it was like, it was basically almost like no discipline, like his restrictions.
Yeah.
I just remember,
I don't remember. Because it was his job to do? That's my job?
No, he was.
He didn't want his boys? What philosophy? Like, how?
Come on, it's my dad.
But I feel like that means, like, there must have been some reason. Did it change, or like you could never get him, pin him to say it?
The man was always drunk, and he's like constant drunk philosopher.
Yeah,
like nothing he says makes sense.
Yeah,
he could never explain it. Right. So here's what drunk people do when they're up against something logically.
Yeah,
they just change the subject without even realizing that they're necessarily doing it. They just change the subject.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like, well, so what, you know, this is why you can't discipline the kids, because, well, when I was a kid, there was a guy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know,
yeah.
It's just, because he can't, as soon as they come up against the first logical wall, they just go somewhere else.
So yeah, quick.
Yeah, because any other time, if they're right, if they're on the right path, mm-hmm. about something, they are happy to stay on that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it.
Yeah.
Now, my dad was very stringent. And I saw it in other households, too.
Yeah. Like, there was it a black thing?
No, I've seen it. It's in white households.
It's just a drunk man thing.
Well, no, I mean, it's so that version of it.
Yeah.
But so take alcohol out of the equation and then add in religion.
Yeah.
Right. And then this mom who's at home with the two boys, but the dad is vacant because of how busy he is.
Yeah.
Or for whatever reason. And so the reason is religion. You can't, you still end up with rowdy boys.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, and, like, I saw it in another household with people in my peer group. Their mom wasn't allowed to discipline them. I know, like, she couldn't. So mostly what I'm saying is, like, she couldn't, like, beat or touch the kid in any way.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I get it. You don't want to beat your kid. You don't want to beat your kid. But,
you know, if that's your thing, because obviously not your thing, but
that's not even the case. Well, see, it's easy for us to not beat our kids because we are two parents who are double parenting most of the time. We have a very fortunate situation with,
yeah.
you know, the jobs and
yeah.
the time we're allowed to be with our kids. So it's different though when them's the rules and then one person's with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not the same because,
yeah.
you know, it's easy for you to not hit the kids because I can just show up.
Yeah.
And my presence alone makes them, oh man, consequences are about to happen.
Yeah.
We're about to start losing shit. It's just about to start getting thrown away.
Yeah.
Let's change our attitude. So that's all I'm saying. So it's you're lucky is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you went there.
I don't know. I think it's nice to stumble upon ways to realize how lucky you are. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you just every now and again realizing how lucky you are?
I am lucky. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, no, that is a very handcuffing situation. My brother is great people now.
Yeah.
They were terrors as kids.
Yeah.
Constantly setting shit on fire, constantly escaping. They would, I mean, that's what they would do because you couldn't pin them down because they were wild.
Yeah.
They had no sense of discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline just felt like any correction just felt like punishment to them. This felt like not even punishment, but every correction felt confrontational to them.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. There was a time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, you can't be handcuffing kids. You can't be handcuffing discipline.
Yeah.
Like that. You got to be able to.
So you think those kids, you think kids like that, could they be farmed out to be, like, does that, can they be fixed by outside of the house? Or is it like.
Well, so before I get to what I think about that, let me just say this. So here are the patterns that I recognize, right? There's like overwhelming frustration and you like, this like, motherfucker, you know, this it's a rehearsed look though, because you can see the ones that are not prepared, that don't live that life where they're constantly restrained from being able to discipline their kid.
Yeah.
Because when they're at home, they can discipline the kid and say whatever they want. Then when they're in public, they sometimes have to like do a teeth grit, like, oh, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the same. It's not the same one, right? It's one is like, you know, like, I'm going to fucking get you.
Yeah.
And the other one is like, when we get home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very different. One is like, I'm going to explode one day, and you're not gonna like it.
Yeah.
And the other one is, you know, hey, keep on going. Once we get home and get back to our normal discipline, you're not gonna like it.
Yeah. It's like the letter, like, this is your last chance. This is your last chance. This is your last chance. And like, it's said too many times, so you're like, it's my last chance.
And yeah, it's just like,
I got ice cream after this last time. It'll
but
be fun.
It is happening, right? And then she has to crank it up more.
Yeah.
Right. And so now she's at the point where she's in public trying to discipline her child that way and exuding evil in like a 30-foot radius to do it, you know, where everybody's turning like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, people are getting shivers.
Yeah.
Just because of the way she's gripping this child by the arm, and he's fighting it.
Yeah.
He's like pushing back. Like, he doesn't have to listen to her.
No.
And that's when the fucking, it comes from high top.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when a little boy doesn't have to listen to his mom, shit is over.
Yeah, yeah. It's a miserable child there.
Yeah.
Like, for other people to be around.
It is.
He might be having the time of his life. I don't know. But for the rest of us, I don't want to be around him.
But that's the funny thing, too, especially, I think relationships are still kind of this way, whether people like to admit it or not. I think we're in a time period where people would like to believe that things are, the relationship dynamics are different. But I think it still stands to reason that
Sydney's going to say something that women will not like. Go, Sydney. No. Janelle will not like this. Go.
Well, so the man, for the most part, is kind of the head of the relationship and kind of guides the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the woman has to trust the guy and trust that the guy is doing the right thing for them and their kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, you're lucky what kind of person you get to trust. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, this is all about me being lucky. Well,
I
wasn't.
I mean, I saw an opportunity and I didn't want to miss it.
You did.
I didn't want to miss it. But I mean, some people just have to trust people like my dad. You got to think about how long Linda was married to my dad. It was a long time.
It seems weird, yeah.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
Way longer than she deserved.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying my dad is a horrible person.
Person to be in a relationship with.
That's fair to say.
Yeah.
That's fair to say, because he uses circular logic for everything.
Yeah.
Whether it even requires that in the first place. At some store we were in, me and the girls the other day, I was walking through a store and I looked at a butt. Well, I'm not like gazing at butts, but like, you know, a butt makes itself known every now and again in the wild.
Okay.
Right? And I was like walking and I looked at the butt, but it was like, here's what I do, because, you know, I tried to go the neuter yourself route, like just don't even, like blinders on, like fight the muscles in your neck from, you know, but what I learned to do is to detach predatory motive.
And this is why I'm so lucky.
Well, no, this. Maybe this is why society's so lucky.
Okay.
No, this is, again, so that's important. That's important because that changes the way.
Detach predatory motive.
Detach predatory motive.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the easier thing to do. It's easier to, you know, accept that you are turning to that butt for physiological reasons.
Uh-huh.
You know, and recognize the things. Oh, yeah. Okay, that butt is not prepared to survive. Okay, no, you know. Like, oh, that would be a good survival butt. You know, so, yeah.
That's what you do? You just rate butts on their survival?
I do.
Ability? Their survival ability?
Yeah, survival ability or potential athleticism.
So this butt you saw the other day with the girls, was it going to survive?
It was.
It's like you're looking at a species of butts.
It is. It is. So it was, that butt was hanging in there, right? So it was a butt that was still keeping shape, but I think the pants were doing a lot of the heavy lifting. They were like those tight spandex.
Yeah.
Right. And
Looking at a spandex butt, huh?
But they're like butt cupping. They're like butt hoisting.
Some spandex do that now.
Yeah. Women's clothes are very engineered for the butt right now. The butt is huge right now.
Yeah.
So like I looked at the butt and I swear to God, she had like a little GoPro up on her back.
So this is your way of telling me that you're caught on a GoPro staring at a chick's butt?
No, I'm thankful. I'm proud of the way I handled myself.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, because when that comes out, I promise you this, I won't make the cut. I didn't leer.
You didn't
It wasn't, there was nothing creepy about the way I looked at that butt.
You judging. You get to judge how you look at butts.
I 100%. I know performance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know when, like, I know what it feels like to be in the moment. I know what I'm dealing with in the moment.
Okay.
Here's the only thing that they would be able to do. If in fact the girls are at all in the image,
mm-hmm.
they could try to spin it as like they could caption it somehow. Or put it with the other videos with like dads with kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like
the only
quick,
way you're making the cut.
It's the only one. And it would have to be in a quick clip montage. You know what I mean? Because they wouldn't be able to show, they wouldn't even be able to show enough to show how cute the kids are.
Yeah.
Because the more time that they would show that
you weren't you're saying it was a quick look?
Yeah, I saw the butt.
You saw the butt.
I saw the butt.
You didn't look at the butt.
No. It was just like, it was definitely a butt that was out. She was wearing like a tiny leather jacket that was so short that it didn't cover the GoPro camera.
Yeah.
That was. So, you know.
So you're saying you survived the test.
I don't know. First of all, I don't like the whole premise.
Of a butt being out saying, don't look at me.
Yeah. It's like, what is she even trying to prove?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea what she's trying to prove. She could be attempting to prove my side of things.
Maybe she's trying to prove how many people, like, she's like bragging about all the people that look at her butt.
She could be bragging, but even
she's
then,
a butt model
it's like
Instagram.
That's not. She looked. She had the presence of somebody that would be butt modeling on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's like nobody dresses like that.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like if you, I'm sorry, man. It was. Everything that she was wearing revolved around her butt.
Yeah.
It was tiny leather jacket, so it didn't cover any of the waist. Riding boots that kind of draw the attention up. It was like all, like everything was drawing the attention like to the butt.
That's what people do nowadays. I've seen it out there.
Yeah. So all I'm saying
is, I leer at those butts.
I know you do. I know you do. And you can get away with it. But see, you can look and even have judgment. Right? And whatever, like if you were in that video, it would be like in the jealous women.
Yeah. Just taking it in.
Yeah. It's like I see that butt and I'm like, dead in a month. Yeah, that's apocalypse. It's apocalypse standards.
Yeah.
But also, it was at a point where it was like, that could result in good escapability if she really committed to it.
You know, there's probably potential to the butt.
She could get in shape quick, probably.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, though. she can get escapability fast for the apocalypse.
You know, when the apocalypse comes, we're not taking on more wives. I don't know what you're planning.
No, I'm just like, you know, like, oh, good on you. Good luck in the apocalypse. Oh, okay. You know, I'm not, again, there's like no predatory motive. None. I'm just.
I thought you were judging to see you wanted to join the team.
No, you think I'm trying to amass more women?
So we should see you when you check out the guy with the GoPro on the back.
Do you look at
guy butts for apocalypse survivability?
No, I mean, I look at like the way they move.
You know? Oh, but not them, just the way they move.
Yeah, because again, like a lot of women, yeah, you can just tell in the way a guy moves, it's like, oh, he's not gonna make it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like,
and guys then, get stiff. Guys, like,
even some of the more flowy guys aren't gonna make. There's just some people just aren't gonna make it. Some people just There's some people you can look at and you can see their heart.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, man. You're not even going to want to make it.
No.
The apocalypse is going to hit and you're going to give right the fuck up right where you stand.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I see a lot of those. And then some people, you can tell, I'm like, I see some people like, man, he's going to shock a lot of people in the apocalypse. Like, he doesn't look like it, but that dude's going to fucking fight. What up, dude?
Yeah.
I see them out there too.
Yeah.
Speaking of survivability and potential apocalypse, this Wuhan flu.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Why is it hilarious?
Well, first of all, it seems of the cases of people in other countries outside of China that have gotten it.
Yeah.
Nobody has died. I don't know if anybody has had any other severe consequences because of it or side effects because of it that would be lasting, but nobody outside of China has died.
Okay.
Because of it.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay.
I just saw the stats recently.
Okay.
So
it doesn't give you a fever. It just gives you it just affects your respiratory.
Yeah. And you know, so not to say that it's not a problem. It's only killing Chinese people, but that's not what's funny to me. There is something funny to me. Well, the coronavirus is what it's called, but the Wuhan flu.
Yeah.
That would be like a racial slur for interracially dating with a Chinese person.
You got the Wuhan flu?
Yeah.
yeah, it works.
Yeah, it's like the Asian jungle fever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It sounds like it.
It does.
Wuhan flu.
Wuhan flu.
You got some Wuhan flu over here, huh? Ooh, check out the Wuhan flu couple over here.
It sounds like the right part, like you get it and a little bit offensive, but like don't get that upset about it.
Yeah,
you
know, it's not. Well, when you present it alongside jungle fever, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, the Wuhan. Yeah, just like, so all day long, I've just been thinking about Wuhan flu babies. So Keanu Reeves is a Wuhan flu baby.
He is a Wuhan flu baby.
Yeah. He's all I could think of. I didn't Google any. I don't know any like famous half Chinese people or half Asian people.
I don't know either.
Is Lucy Liu a Wuhan flu baby or is she
full
Wuhan? is she full? I mean, I guess you don't call black people full jungle.
I think you're full jungle. Yeah.
I think Lucy Liu might be a Wuhan flu baby. And then,
they might take offense to you calling them that. They might. I'm just saying. They might.
They can. I mean, I invented it as a racial slur. The genesis wasn't nice.
What kind of person is out there in 2020, like, claiming, inventing racial slurs?
Somebody's got to be doing. They need to be specific.
They need to do a better job at it.
Yeah, they need to be fun, man. We need fun racial slurs out here. It's yeah. So, fucking get on board with this and think of some Wuhan flu babies right now.
Oh man. I'm not going to fall for your trick and start saying. I'm not trying to come up with any. Okay.
So, not even gonna all do right, it. So help me with this.
Okay.
All right. So let's come up with other interracial dating racial slurs.
Okay.
For other groups. Is that fair? Can okay. we do that?
I think we can do that.
All right. All right. So clear. So let's. I like the theme of it being a sickness.
Yeah.
All right. So let's work with that.
Okay.
And where would you like to go first? Like we need to like spin a racist globe and then just throw a racist dart at it.
How about you got the Irish measles?
All right, the Irish measles. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like how you went white and safe. Okay. You have Irish background. Yeah, you went right to something that you could claim.
Yeah.
Self-deprecating, safe, smart.
Okay.
Not a lot of white people would have went that smart, you know?
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good start. So, all right. I'm doing a play on, so it's Mexican's Revenge, but here's why. So Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah.
When you drink the water.
Yeah.
Right? Nah, that doesn't work. I don't like it.
Yeah. This is, you got to really think about these.
You do. Yeah, you do. By the way, Irish measles, great. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I see how hard this is now.
We try really hard to be racist right now. It's not easy.
Yeah. It's all right.
Hi. Hand, foot, and
Hawaiian hand, foot, and mouth disease.
They really got that Hawaiian hand, foot, and mouth disease.
That one works. That might be the best. It doesn't like flow. You can't really put it. Yeah. So the other standard that I was going to present was that I had to be able to work in the song. She's got jungle fever. Right. So yeah. She's got Wuhan flu.
Right? It works, okay. Right? Okay.
She's got Hawaiian hand, foot, and mouth. I still like it. We're still rolling with it. We're still rolling with it. What else? What else do we got out there?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, this isn't as easy as people. Like, man.
like strep throat Texans? Like somebody who really likes cowboys?
Strep throat Texans. Strep throat. I like the way your mind works. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily roll with that one.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Okay.
You know, I love it. I love the way you spitball. You know what I mean?
Kind of in my wheelhouse, like trying to come up with awkward racist things.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's, I mean, I can't even think of other races right now. I would be a terrible racist. The Puerto Rican plague. Got one.
Oh, nice. That one just rolled off your tongue. Huh?
Yeah. Woo. That was like at the buzzer.
Yeah. Puerto Rican plague. It works.
You didn't even add the other parts of the lyrics. All right. Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. So anyway, all right. I mean, we can't do this too long. not this podcast. This podcast has to be short because I'm up against the clock here. And so we did a whole episode.
The Canadian coughing flu? Canadian coughing flu. I'm going for all the white people, huh?
Yeah. The Canadian. Okay. All right. The Canadian. Well, you got the Canadian cough.
You got the Canadian cough.
Canadian cough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But man, that's like, I can't, anytime this happens though, when we like lose an episode, I can't help but think about, because like that's why we're a couple days late.
Yeah.
Like we did a whole episode. We didn't have time to record the next day. And it was, man, that episode, once we got rolling, once we got past like the weird emotional Kobe shit.
It was an emotional episode.
It was weird. And then like, you know, we got into it, man. It was good.
What did we talk about?
The only thing that I can remember from it is how we talked about how men's samurai, the creed, is death before dishonor.
Yeah.
And women's samurai, the creed, is lie until you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lie until you die.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was interesting. Because when military POWs are together.
Oh, yes.
And they're torturing, they separate the men and women. If they start trying to torture the women, the men give up the secrets. If they make that threat.
Yeah. If the captors make the threat of punishing the women unless the men talk.
Yeah.
The men almost always talk.
Yeah.
And the women never do.
Yeah. And the women get mad at the guys because they said,
well, and this is an anecdotal experience as well. This is like, this actually happened. So you're talking about some historical event.
Yeah.
This is Ansley's finally started reading Talking to Strangers.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's changing my life.
So she's like probably ahead of me at this point.
I might be.
Yeah. It's crazy. This book is crazy.
Yeah.
So what were you saying then?
That the women get upset because.
So yeah, they got upset because. Oh, man. So anyway, long story short, we got a little interruption there. So basically it was the women were better at it because they like lying so much. It was the joke
that we started with, and then we ended up on
the women's samurai.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that was fun.
Yeah.
We got there. Oh, it was such a fun one. So anyway. I will say this, and then we'll give shout outs. Then we got to make this a short one. Like I said, it's so, you know, all the, you know, sad stuff now out of the way about the Kobe situation.
So, you're saying it's been long enough.
Well, it's no. But it's like it's easier now for me to address some of the things that are kind of more humorous. Right.
Yeah. You're going through the grieving stages.
Yeah. So one of the things. And I don't think I'm alone on this one, right? Kobe's one of those people that I had a prediction on that the old man version of Kobe was going to look basically just like the young.
Oh yeah, he is one of those, like, you forget he's looked the same forever.
Timeless. He's like a timeless look.
Yeah.
Like it's Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, that's like he's the Kobe look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, I had a...
It's like a cartoon version of a human being, like, aging.
Yeah, it was. And it's weird, too, that... So there was the interview with Tracy McGrady, another basketball player who had retired. And he was... I didn't see the interview. Like, I saw, like, people... All this stuff was emotional all day long.
You know? Yeah.
So, and... But he was saying how Kobe talked about how he always wanted to die young.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Man, speak something into existence, right?
Yeah.
It's like all of the people that you would hear, like Biggie Smalls rapped about dying young.
Yeah.
Tupac rapped about dying young.
Yeah.
You know, like these great people who don't even realize the consequences of their greatness. It's like, look at all the things that you spoke into existence.
Yeah, yeah, and stop. Watch what you're saying.
Yeah, like, because yeah. You can be a victim of the things that you're clearly capable of manifesting the things that you want into existence.
Yeah,
be careful what you manifest.
I think that's a good lesson to take forward from this.
Yeah, because it's whatever reason you might be saying it.
Yeah,
the repetition of it.
Yeah,
is what starts to build its ability to manifest into something.
Right? Yeah.
So it's I saw it happen with a guy who just convinced himself that he was cool.
He became cool?
He became one of the coolest people I know. he started off as not cool.
But like cool. He got like a lot just of really cool time, hobbies. Like,
over the years.
He bought a leather jacket. Cool. Like,
cool. He had a leather jacket once. He did. He had a sick ass leather jacket. It was cool. Man, that guy just got cool over time. I watched it happen. He just made it happen. So I guess that's the lesson there. You can make things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at what Ainsley did with that racist interracial dating slur thing.
Make it happen.
Girl, when you manifest something, when you constantly repeating something. All right.
I feel like we manifested our new cover art because it's so cool.
Oh my gosh. It is so cool. Shout out Ben Fiddler.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ben. This is a weird episode. I apologize. This is the episode you're getting shouted out in. Man, it's just, we're like a little delirious because like that other episode we did, we put a lot into that. You know, once, because we had to go through a whole hour of not that good podcasting.
Yeah.
To finally get a rhythm and then do a whole other hour of over now. We did an hour and a half after that.
Really?
Yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah. We were rolling.
Yeah.
Rolling. Wow. And then a fucking... Whatever. Malfunctions happen. I'm not very technologically savvy.
Don't put it out in the universe.
Yeah. I will be.
Okay.
I'm starting to become technologically savvy now.
Do it.
I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. Okay. Now. Oops, sorry, did I delete all that? Okay, now. Yeah, but no, Ben Fiddler did the art. I guess if people are going to start seeing it, because I'm going to start making that transition pretty soon. We're saying goodbye to our old art. Which
is amazing.
Thankfully, Gracie Kanan lent her very professional abilities in marketing and design to do that for us.
Yes.
And again, it's amazing. Like, I stand, like, that is, like, I still want to do something with that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So, but you'll be seeing what Ben Fiddler created for us pretty soon and more. Some of you already have seen it on Instagram. I posted it, but, you'll be seeing it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, shout out to Ben Fiddler. And shout out to, let me get my shout out list up. What were you going to say?
I was going to see how fast you could do this. You're always bragging. What? But then I wasn't going to harass you.
I don't know
you.
If you know this, but I started being technologically savvy
now.
So it's already.
Sorry. Up. Yeah.
Shout out Mike Butler. Nice. Shout out Mike Levy. Shout out Liz Bott. Shout out Doc. I'm not going to say shout out each time. Phil Clark. Well, yeah, Phil Clark. Shout out. What up, Phil Clark? Kevin Stevens. Shout out. Julian from Canada. Shout out. Shout out Meg, his wife.
Yes.
And then her Instagram page, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Meg Says So. Check out her garments. Her threads. Check out her threads. I'm cool. You know what? I'm cool.
You're cool? I want to be cool.
I'm cool. You want to be cool?
I am cool.
Let's be cool.
Let's be cool.
We're cool.
We're the cool couple
We're
now.
A cool couple.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we're a cool couple. Do we have to get leather jackets? Do I have to start unbuttoning the top three buttons of my shirt? So Meg Says So. She's a seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty cool Instagram name. So Kevin Lau, shout out. Mary Jo, shout out. Nicole, shout out. Rod, shout out. Janelle, shout out. We already shouted her out, did we?
Yeah.
Shout out Courtney, who, by the way, listened to one of the episodes of Two Jack Bros, the episode where we talked about John and Kate Plus Eight.
And it
encouraged her to do more research. She was one of the people that got caught up in TLC's media hype train that tarnished John's character. She hated him because of what they did.
I still hold to the fact that he chose to wear the Ed Hardy shirts.
He did. But, he looked the part.
He looked the part.
He matched what they were saying.
Yeah, he did.
So, but anyway, she did. And she was thankful. She was thankful that she was freed from that misappropriated disdain.
Yeah.
You like the way I said that, huh? Shout out Rick, Big Rick, Coach Rick. Shout out Andrew Pace, Andy, man, getting it done. K Keith Butts, shout out, Kyle Hancock, Erica Daniels, Levi Mercer, Justin Masabi, Ezekiel Ellis. And these are like the first people that reached out during the big burst. That's who these shout outs are.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be like, well, it's like, that's kind of what this is. And then we kind of grandfathered some other people in who that we see on a regular basis that are also fans. And that's kind of cool for us too. You know, it's like a shout out Kevin McGrand, shout out Chris Bruno, Ezekiel Ellis. I said that right.
Yeah.
I said that right.
Do you know who the old man is?
No, not yet. Shout out Logan. Shout out Ryan, Joe, Rob, Joe Francis and his girlfriend and her company Saved by the Wreath. Go get yourself a wreath. Shout out TJ James all the way in New Zealand. We had to add him in there. He was from New Zealand. That's kind of cool. Yeah. He's listening to us. I think that's down under. New Zealand?
That's not Australia. Is New
it's
Zealand
close
too?
To Australia.
It's close. It could be. We'll it's go like, with it. It's down under.
Downish under?
Yeah.
Shout out Nick Cupsey and his two books, Lost in the Mail and The Five People You Meet in Wawa. Very funny stuff. You got to check this guy out. He's doing fun stuff. Good table reads. And again, I do not remember who this old guy is, but shout out. I knew I wanted to put you in there. I don't remember why, but it was like you earned it.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, don't go out there and compete for our love. That's not what this is about. But we appreciate all the listeners and all the continued growth. We're sorry we have to cut this short, but like I said, I'm kind of up against the clock. I have to go do some stand-up comedy.
Meatball Malaria.
Oh, the Italians. That's Italians, right?
Yeah.
I do that right away.
Yeah.
Come on. My daughter's not going to be having some meatball malaria in this house. Get out of here. All right. Man, way to close.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Night. Yeah. She got you.